When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
The Sultan of Sizzle, the Titan of Toastiness, the Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones, those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard, they have the backyard, because they know a solo stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
Kellen Winslow, a tight end, was inducted in the same 1995 Hall of Fame class as Steve, spent his entire career with the San Diego Chargers. Never met him before, had no idea that he's about so much more than football. I told him, and we talked about the fact that the NFL just keeps expanding. It's got urban sprawl. There's really no offseason anymore. People just can't get enough. And I wanted to know from Kellen, why is that?
The power of sports and the effect it has on society. I took a class as a freshman, a recreation class, and the opening lecture was a professor who came in and said that we basically have three phases in our life. There's work, there's rest, and there's recreation. And, you know, we sleep 8 hours a day, we work 8 hours a day.
Oh,
and
we spend 8 hours a day.
The other 8 hours we spend in some pursuit of recreation, and sports is a major part of that.
It is. And yet for you, it was a job, right?
Yeah.
How immersive is it? Is it an all-in thing?
Well, it can be, but it's also dangerous when it's all in. Because if it's a singular focus, you don't develop your other personal skills, your other skills you have in other areas. And when that singular focus is taken away from you, you're lost.
A lot of today's athletes, they're very diversified. They've got the social media. They've got the platforms. A lot have podcasts these days. It seems like many athletes do. What was it like when you were in the NFL without the social media component?
Well, it was a different way of developing your brand. That was very rare. Mm-hmm. Those vehicles were not there. But in some ways, it was a good thing because it forced you outside of football.
Yes.
Or baseball or whatever your particular sport was. Because if you have this singular focus, once that's taken away, you're really lost and you struggle to know who you are or what your capabilities are or what your contribution is to society.
You hear from a lot of former pro athletes that really struggle once they're out of the locker room and off the field. So how was the transition for you when you finally retired?
Well, mine was a little bit different because I didn't grow up being the star athlete. I played 1 year of high school football. I was on the chess team before I played football in high school.
Wow.
And when I did play that 1 year of high school football, yeah, it was just okay. And the schools that came in to recruit me were recruiting me on potential that he might get bigger, he might get stronger, he might get better. And my high school coaches were my biggest advocates that I was going to be okay, you know, to play. And I just continued to get better. But my childhood, my upbringing, my work history was, varied during my development, where I had different jobs. And before I played football, I was a member of the Teamsters Union because I worked at United Parcel Service.
Wow.
And I played chess, and then I read a lot. So when it came time to, and football became my singular focus because of collegiate athletics and professional athletics, I knew that there was something else out there that I could do that I might be good at.
At what point did you catch the bug and it became something you really enjoyed?
More than likely when I realized that football and chess are the same thing and that my role in the game of chess and the game of football, I'm the knight at tight end. And as the tight end, as the knight, I control certain spots over the middle. So I took it as a philosophy. My job was to control the middle of the field as the knight on the field. But when I realized that, the game of football slowed down for me because my high school, in football in high school, my freshman year at Missouri, and probably maybe half of that year, I just didn't know what was going on. Why I was out there, what I was doing, why I was doing it, I didn't understand. time and space, the continuum. I didn't understand the passing game, why this was this or this or that. But when I realized that football was chess, I went, oh, okay. I know what I do. I know why I do it. And I know what you do, and I know why you do it. And it all made sense to me. And the game slowed down for me, and I began to think of the game differently.
I've done this business now for 20-plus years. I've interviewed countless athletes. You are the only one that I've ever heard compare football to a game of chess, and yet football's so cerebral. It really can be. That's so fascinating.
Well, it's a game of chess, and that's why when I was doing collegiate football from the booth as a broadcaster, I would always struggle with offensive or defensive coordinators being on the field, because there's no board game that you play that you're board level. You can't see everything that's going on. So when you have an offensive coordinator down on the field, I wonder if somebody could do a study and compare the plays that are called by a coordinator who's on the field versus one who's in the booth. And I think you might see more creativity calls coming from the booth, because your viewpoint is different than the viewpoint of being on the field.
Wow. Kellen Winslow is with us, a Hall of Fame tight end from the 95 class, spent your whole career with the San Diego Chargers.
Nobody else wanted me.
Well, that was their loss, sir. Is it strange now seeing the Chargers in L.A.?
Very. I still, at times, refer to them as the San Diego Chargers. So to stop that, I just call them the Chargers.
Gotcha.
They may move. I don't want to get endeared to another city.
What's your perspective on some of the great tight ends today? So Travis Kelce, who is not just a huge mountain of a man who can pretty much catch anything that Pat Mahomes throws to him, but is also this incredible personality. George Kittle, another one who is one of the top in the league. I know it was a down year for the position, but how different from when you played?
Well, when you talk about those two, they're basically the same person. Same personality, very outgoing, funny. You know, and on the field or off the field, you know, they draw a crowd, and that's a great thing about it. I like watching them play, because they're the type of players that when the game's on the line, they want the ball. You know, not everybody wants the ball when the game is on the line.
Right.
They like the stats. They like to have a good game. But when it's third down and we need 6 yards, not everybody's stepping up, throw the ball to me. So we've all seen that, who've been in the huddle, who've played team sports. You know those who want the be in the moment. I like the fact that they like to be in the moment and they want to contribute. So I enjoy watching them and have a great deal of respect for what they do that way. When it comes to, you know, the game, who's going to win, it's a personal thing. I want Kansas City to win because I'm a Missouri guy.
Okay.
And I lived in Kansas City for a number of years. I know a lot of Chiefs fans. I know Andy Reid, and you know, it's I watched Patrick Mahomes through his career, watch his dad's career. So, like most prognosticators would at a Trump moment there, excuse me, most prognosticators would say that they've looked at all of this and they choose who they want to, you know, they choose based on the facts. Most of them are just, down to.
You're just guessing.
Yeah. I like their pants, you know. It's my favorite color. That's why I'm choosing them. So I'm going to be honest about it.
The Chargers powder blues. Those are sweet.
Those are sweet, but I never played in the powder blues. We didn't have the powder blues.
Oh, okay.
It was just that era. I guess, you know, the color was in short supply. You just couldn't get it.
Yep.
Or it was on the, you know, catwalk in New York, and everybody was dominating that color. But I never played in the powder blues.
Interesting. Kellen Winslow with us here on Radio Row. You mentioned not playing football until your senior year in high school, and then it turns into this Hall of Fame career. So I love that part of the story. So then, just to go back to what we were talking about, when you left the league, the transition wasn't as tough, because you were saying you'd had a whole varied interest before you ever got into football.
I knew that I could do something else. And that's one of the biggest things about leaving the game. You know, it's no different than leaving the military. You in the military, that's your identity. That's your title. That's where you get your respect from, that uniform. But when you take that uniform off, you know, what does a person who's done 20 years in the military wear the day after they retire?
Their uniform.
they don't know what to wear.
Right.
You know, because now that the putting on the uniform or some portion of the uniform doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And they may have some clothes that they, you know, have around the house. But it's rebuilding a whole new wardrobe, which means building a whole new personality, unless you have a plan, unless you've done something else. So, or you stay somewhere close to the military, like go to work for a defense contractor. I have an uncle who was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, flew B-52 bombers in the Vietnam and Korean conflict, in the Korean, I should say, and Vietnam conflicts. He never called them a war because war was never declared. And he had a plan. So he went to school every base that he was stationed on. He graduated with 6 degrees, and he went to work for a defense contractor until he retired. So he had a plan for that, but it kept him close to the military, being involved with the defense contracting business, which is an extension of the military. So I kind of used that model. And when I knew I was getting close to leaving the game in that year 8, year 9, I decided I was going to go to law school. And I listened to people who I trust and respect. And one person told me, Dr. Walter Daniels, a professor at the University of Missouri Columbia, told me that a good way to spend my time would be a good way to spend my time in transition would be in school. So those 3 or 4 years of going to law school were a good time for me to figure it out.
What did you do with that law degree?
Well, I took the bar once. I failed passing the bar the first time, the Missouri bar. I got sick the morning before the first break of day one and didn't come back to write day two. And of course, if you don't write the whole thing, you can't pass. So I failed. I came very close to passing, but did not pass the bar. And then decided that I don't want to practice law. So I went into broadcasting and public speaking. And then from there, I went to work for Disney in Orlando, Florida. Excuse me, yes. Lake Buena Vista, Florida. And worked there for about 5 years. And then I did 3 different stints as an athletic director at 3 different schools.
Wow.
In 3 different divisions. And retired 2 years ago after spending 5 years as a special assistant to the president at a small Catholic university just outside of Detroit, Michigan, Madonna University.
It feels like we could talk for hours. There's so many different interests and different branches of your life. I'm going to ask you about something that you've always been passionate about. I've heard, even in your Hall of Fame speech, about more minorities, about not just at the playing positions, right, but in general manager spots, in coaching jobs, coordinators. Here we are. It's decades after you played. How would you evaluate the league in that respect?
It's getting better. It really is getting better. Opportunities are there. In many ways, the numbers, the sheer number of individuals who are coming into the league, coming to the coaching ranks from the player ranks, is pushing that number. But it's really no different than what's happening in society as a whole. If you think of African-American players as immigrants, and most immigrants who come to this country start at the bottom. It's designed that way. You start at the bottom, and through generational work and generational success, you work your way up so that your children one day will have an opportunity, and that opportunity will be a great opportunity. And then one day you find that you have a head coach in your ranks because of the work that's been done by other people. And it's the same type of thing. In the days of, let's see, the early turn of the century, 1920s and 30s, when African Americans were in this country, their goal was to get a job that had benefits and had a pension. And that set the formation, the foundation for them to buy a house. And from that house, they could send their kids to college. And there were a lot of kids who were first generation, the next generation, first generation college kids. And then that first generation college was able to set the expectation early that their kids are going to go to college, and their kids naturally went to college and they did even better. Mm. And it's the same thing that's happening in the coaching ranks. We started at the bottom. There was a time when we couldn't play this game. And so the progress is taking place. We just have to continue to work it to remove the barriers, whether the barriers are physical barriers or whether they are perception barriers. Mm. We need to remove those barriers.
Well, thank you for your insight. I appreciate you elaborating on that. About to find out the new Hall of Fame class, right? So,
Am I going to get in?
There are men who are waiting potentially for the phone calls.
Yes.
What do you remember about your phone call, your revelation?
The good thing about when I got in 1995 was that we didn't have all the social media coverage. We didn't have all the technology
right.
for instantaneous information. So there wasn't a lot of talk about the Hall of Fame as it is today. Now, look around. You know, this was not, you know, Media Row in 1995. I mean, Radio Row in 1995. But today is so instantaneous. It's a conversation is constantly going on. Right. I remember when I got in 1995, I was at the Super Bowl in Miami, Florida. It was the year that the Chargers made the Super Bowl against the San Francisco 49ers. I was having breakfast with two very good friends at the Fontainebleau Hilton Hotel. And over breakfast, I got a phone call. And, you know, I didn't recognize the number, but I answered it. I didn't even remember that the committee was voting that morning. And it was Pete from the Hall of Fame. And Pete said that he wanted to inform me that I'd just been voted to the Hall of Fame. Tears flowed.
Wow.
You know, the champagne came out, the orange juice came out, and we had a good time in celebrating that. But it was a life-changing day.
Yeah, awesome. And more men are about to have that life-changing moment. Before I let you go, sir, why is it important for you to work with Mike Ditka and the Gridiron Greats?
The Gridiron Greats has been doing a great job over the last 20 years and filling in the gap where NFL benefits, and when I say NFL, I mean, I want to say it's not the owners, it's the NFL, it's the union, the Players Association, as well as the NFL, have now gotten better benefits for players who played, retired players who played during my time and even before, mm-hmm. and some of them after I played. But those benefits weren't that great a while ago when the Gridiron Greats started. So this Gridiron Greats were able to help people financially with medical costs, with basic living costs, with helping them with resources, et cetera. With the Gridiron Greats, along with Southern Recipe Small Batch, they've done a great job in raising money to support Mike Ditka's visions for the Gridiron Greats. And of course, wouldn't it be a tight end who leads this effort, because that's what we do.
Awesome. I love it. Well, it's great to meet you.
To meet you also.
Nice to talk to you for the first time. I just love that we could talk about a lot of things that have nothing to do with football. That's cool.
They have everything to do with football because football is a part of what we do.
That's true. Microcosm of society.
It's all it is.
Hall of Famer Kellen Winslow, again, thank you so much for your time. It's great to connect with you.
You bet.
A Peanut Butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing. One retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort. Coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Says here that Gray Bar is a distributor?
Yeah, we support electrical and datacom projects all over the country.
So you can get me the products I need, where and when I need them?
Yeah, thanks to our national logistics network.
Any industry?
Yeah, construction, industrial plants, schools, hospitals.
So you could say Gray Bar is much more than a distributor.
Yeah, you could say that. When you need a hand powering, connecting, or maintaining your operations, join the thousands of professionals who rely on Gray Bar to help keep them up and running. Yeah, Gray Bar does that.